chapter 2 this week. Did you guys get the action points for the week? Cliff, Kathy? No? Okay. We're on chapter 2 this week. Today is March 13th. How did it go this week? Did anybody... Did anybody come across anyone that you were able to just maybe share a scripture with this week? I had something happen to me this week. Can I tell it? It's crazy. I was at a job site getting ready to go in and waiting on a few other contractors to show up. The guy, the drywaller, pulls up beside me and says, and I had only met him a couple times, and he says to me, he says, hey, Ron. He's sitting in his truck, and I'm sitting in mine, looking out the window at each other. And he says, you guys go to church? And I said, yeah, we do. And he says, where do you go? And I said, well, we go to Windsor Church of Christ. And he says, well, I'm looking for a church to go to. He says, I'm not real happy where I'm at. And I thought, you know what, that's never happened to me like that, where somebody just pulls up and just says that to me. He says, so I don't know if it was something I was praying for. I'm sure it was. Maybe it was an answered prayer. But you can see where prayers can be answered when we're looking. And so I took the old Randall route, what we read about, and I handed him a scripture. I did the same thing. So hopefully something will turn out from that. And maybe he'll read it. And but he said, well, Ronnie says, I like to play the drums, and I want to be somewhere where the drums are played. And I said, well, he says, you're not on instrumental, right? And I said, yeah, we are. So we're non-instrumental. He says, boy, I like to play the drums. I want to get up there and just pound on them, get involved, really get the spirit going, is what he said. And I said, well, I said, I can understand that, how you feel. But I handed him a scripture, and it was just 1 Peter 3:20 and 21, just to give him something to think about. So the opportunity is there.
The same thing happened to me one time. Huh?
Is that right?
Talking to this guy that worked at the REA. We talked all the time about it. He liked to play the guitar. So he went to Life Fellowship so he could play his guitar. That's the only reason why he goes there.
Yeah. Yeah. Play the guitar. Yeah. So, you know, the opportunities are there. We just have to make the most of them when we have a chance. So, okay, let me get you guys this clip real quick. Okay, did you
need something?
Well, it's the first four chapters. I think I gave them to you last week. Is it 1, 2, 3, and 4?
No, I left like 4 too. Okay.
Do you need something for your throat?
Okay.
Do you need something for your throat?
I got something. Okay, real quick. These action points, if you look at the action points, I'll explain them again. This is stuff that you're supposed to work on throughout the week. And last week, on the action points, you were to just write out your conversion on paper and just your own story. And you can read, and it'll, to do this stuff at home, it helps a lot. It'll help you a lot. So we're going to start in chapter 2 today. And if you look at the action points, did you write a list of 10 people that are in your influence of, in your sphere of influences? That is to this week. Make sure you do that this week. But last week was fine if you did it. And then do you guys have these cards? We're trying to catch back up here. Everybody needs a card. This is your cards that we write scripture on. Again, it's important that we memorize some scripture that we're going to be giving you, that I'm going to be giving you, and internalize it. So memorize it and internalize it. And internalizing means to live it. Start living these scriptures. Put it in your heart. This is how we convert people. This is how people will change when they see how we're living. So I'm going to give you guys both one. They're Kirk, you can have these people who need them.
Who else needs one?
This week's If you would write this scripture on your card this week, it's Acts 20 and 28. Acts 20, 28. And I'll quick read that. This is one we need to memorize. Acts 20, 28. Be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. This is important, which he purchased with his own blood. The church which he purchased with his own blood. That's important to remember this week. Write that on your card. Who has made it through two chapters at least this week, or the first two? Has everybody kind of at least caught up through the first two? Alan?
It's hard to stop. I mean, I've already read the whole book, and yeah. I already read it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm on now. It's one of those books you can't put it. I mean,
yeah. I know. Bonnie made it through the first six chapters in what, 3 hours or something? 2 hours?
We're going to get him caught up there, too.
Get caught back up, so. Okay, what is revealed? We're in chapter 2. What is revealed about Michael that demonstrates his worldliness? Do you guys remember? He was not a Christian yet at that point. What was revealed about Michael that demonstrates his worldliness at that point? You remember when he pulled into the gas station, got his banana and coffee that morning, and some guy cut him off? You remember that? What happened? Bear claw made it? Is that what he said? Okay. But what did the other driver do? Gave him the old Hollywood howdy. Remember that? It was the one finger wave. He said. But what did Michael do in return? Because they were generous, he said, down in the South, and with their hospitality, he returned a favor. You remember that? Ephesians 2:2. Write this on your card. Ephesians 2:2. This is another one to write down and to internalize. In which you were formerly walked, which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that is now working in the disobedience, or in the sons of disobedience. We lived our life that way at one time. We're not to live that anymore. Returning the Hollywood howdy is not the way to go. The one finger wave. Ephesians 2:2. We have to remember that. We've heard of road rage so many times. People cut you off and pull up beside you. Don't you want to lay the horn on or swerve over at them or something? And so I've been down that road. Lee, I know you drive a lot, so.
Bonnie's bad about that.
Yeah. Remember.
The other day, Cameron said, you know what the problem with drivers is? They don't use their horn enough.
Yeah, but I'll tell you something.
Crazy child.
I'll tell you something, though. In Florida, they use their horn everywhere. Stacy and I were honked at so many times. Maybe it's because we're lost and we're cruising around. We had no clue where we were going. I bet we were honked at a dozen times down there. So,
well,
what's that?
Back east, it's a way communicating people and they don't get upset about it. Out here you honk your horn at somebody and they get mad.
Yeah. Or they pull a gun and start shooting at you.
Yeah.
Road rage.
Back east they don't do that. They're just like, hey, get her moving. You know, no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you say something?
Yeah.
Oh.
Take it out of the way.
Yeah, that's right. There's that guy again. That's what Michael said. Remember he said that about Randall? What were some of the personality traits that Randall demonstrated in the beginning of his introduction with Michael? Do you guys remember? What were some of the...
He stood out.
Okay, how did he stand out?
Different.
What's that?
He was positive. He was always upbeat. He was something about him that was just different.
Yeah.
Genuine.
Pardon me?
Genuine.
Genuine? Okay.
His handshake was a hand. They called it a hand.
And he was always smiling. You remember he said he was always smiling? I'm just looking here in the book to remind myself. And he was always a happy guy, very happy. Page 19 in your book, if you want to look back. But are we to be that way?
Yeah.
We should be that way. Not always. I can honestly say I'm not always that way. I mean, there are days that we all have days that things don't go well or whatever it may be. So.
You don't necessarily have to feel happy to smile.
Yeah, right. Okay. In your opinion, did Randall plan or premeditate his introduction to Michael?
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion.
No.
Okay.
I think that's the way that he probably just approaches people around him, and it's just his demeanor towards many people that he comes in contact with.
Sure. Okay. Did Randall's attitude or appearance have an impact on Mike?
Yeah, he thought he was weird.
Okay. Or maybe, I don't know if he would say weird, but he definitely stood out as different than everybody else. Again, it goes back on the happiness all the time and smiling. What were the visible attributes of Randall's attitude and character? What were the visible attributes? Kind of just talked about it. Smile on his face.
Did his work well?
Did his work well? Yeah. Easy to communicate with.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a visible, but. Okay. Randall shifted the relationship immediately after introducing himself. How did he do that? You remember after he introduced himself, what did he do?
He asked him what his name was.
Gave him a, what's that?
Asked him what his name was.
Well, that too, but he shifted the conversation and said, hey, since you're my new friend, he says, I'm going to give you something. And you remember that?
Yeah, two Krispy Kremes.
Krispy Kreme donut. Last week I mentioned that we're going to do this study if you weren't here. We need a pencil and paper and our books and a box of Krispy Kreme donuts. So. What a way to do that, if you think about it. We're all in situations that we could do that a lot of times, no matter where we're at. Except you got to have a box of Krispy Kreme donuts with you, I guess, all the time. But if I had that, and
they're on every street corner anymore.
Yeah. Well, we don't have Krispy Kreme here, do we?
Yeah, this area.
Jug and Loaf.
Oh, is it
Loaf
and Jug?
Whatever that's called.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they see me a lot.
Okay. Okay, after Randall's shift of conversation, what critical and bold move did Randall make? The gift of donuts, right? He gave him the donuts. And what was his other statement after he gave him the donuts?
I might give you something better later.
That's right, he said, I might even have something better for you later. Do you guys remember that, what that was? What was it that he had for him better later?
A scripture, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a scripture. It's pretty smart. That guy really gave some thought on how he was going to handle some of these situations. Okay, did Randall seem prepared? Did he seem prepared? If so, if yes, how did he seem prepared?
Within his knowledge of being able to, as the conversation went, he was prepared in the fact that he was knowledgeable enough to always have the right thing to say.
Okay. Look at 2 Timothy 4:2. Kirk, could you get 1 Peter 3:15 for me? Look at 2 Timothy 4:2. It says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Did Randall take that to heart? Are we to take that to heart? Are we to internalize that? That one scripture there?
Well, yeah, I mean, go back one verse. I solemnly charge you.
That's right.
So.
That's verse one, right there. Kurt, go ahead and read 1 Peter 3:15.
But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope.
Always be ready. Always be ready. Keep going.
For the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence.
Always be ready to make an account or have an answer. Do you think that Randall had been praying for opportunities to seek and save the lost? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you think that Mr. Mike was the only person that Randall was focusing on?
No.
Yeah, because later on in the story, we find out that there was somebody else also that he was studying with and he was focusing on. A lot of times, one thing we found out, and last week we may have confused you a little bit, but some of these questions go on further into the story. So if you hadn't read further, you would know the answer. But just keep on reading. Read the whole book. Just keep on reading.
It was Larry. But Kyle put his 2 cents worth in, and he should have just kept his mouth.
And we're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. It's another coworker that put his 2 cents in. So you'll see coming up. What can you do to be more prepared to engage someone in spiritual conversation?
I think having the knowledge when you're going to be in a situation where somebody else is trying to talk to you about their personal beliefs in particular, like this situation was, you know, you had two different sides to that. And I say that because I've been there before in my earlier years and I wasn't properly prepared. And to the point that I thought it was to be able to have the right responses, and I was just kind of like,
yeah,
this is not good.
Yeah. So. I think it's important, though, that it goes back to memorization and internalization again. And to live it, to live it. Don't go back to what Ephesians 2:2 says. Live in that. We were formerly of the world. We're not to be of that world anymore. And people will see that.
Also, to, I mean, you know, and this is also for people who might not like Sarah, who maybe do not know a lot of these scriptures, and so you feel like you can't be prepared until you memorize them.
Yeah.
People really underplay, they sell God so short, and many of us do, pray to know what to say. So if you don't have these memorized yet, and you pray that, you just, you know, God who gives you for his voice, you know, you can just be that mustard seed, but pray that, you know, since you, if, you know, if you're short on your Bible scripture memorization, just pray that you'll say the right thing.
Right.
I mean, it's not.
Well, don't get me wrong on this. I don't think that we have to memorize everything. It's not wrong to say, hey, you know what, let me get back to you. Let me go look for this and let me get back to you. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Were you going to say something?
Oh, I was just
okay. Agreeing
with you.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
Wrong one thing about this, the book that I mentioned, and it indicates it to me, and also just in life, this Randall comes across as being a very approachable person.
Yeah.
And I've just noticed people that are hurting, they always flock toward, when they're hurting and need help, whether it be spiritual or whatever, they always seek out approachable people.
Yeah.
And you look at Jesus in his public ministry, look how people flock to him. It tells me that he was a very approachable person. To be successful, I think that's what we have to be.
Kind of more of a gentle type of person.
Well, you know, I just get.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever been around people who are real rough around the edges and you say something and they just bark at you? You don't want to be around that. Somebody, I've heard the old saying, nobody wants to pet a barking dog. Ever heard that saying? It's tough to be around those types, so.
Ron, I think one of the things too, sometimes we can focus in our, we want to grow in our knowledge of God's word, but just even being willing and thinking this way, being willing, even if we don't know, to have conversation and dialogue about God, about things that will stir people's hearts to look at these things again. I mean, we don't have to know everything.
No,
right. It's just a willingness to have dialogue about it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? We're going to move on to chapter 3.
One more thing on that. The biggest thing is just get them thinking. Not thinking that you're right, not saying that you're right. Just get them thinking. Get them interested.
Yeah, and we're going to actually, I think, chapter 3 here, we're going to start talking more about that. And rather than preaching facts, maybe letting them kind of do a lot of answering themselves. So, okay, chapter 3. We'll move on. Action points. You guys got the action points. We're going to be doing that. So work on 1, 2, and 3 for sure this week. We'll see if we make it to 4. And one of the action points, it says, list 3 ways the adversary has hindered your spirit, your Christian growth. Have you been able to overcome these hindrances? That's for you guys to write down and think about. There are a lot of hindrances out there that's thrown before us and obstacles that would be, try to stop us from growing as a Christian. Chapter 3. Can you guys write down 2 verses here on your note cards? Matthew 24:36. That was on your, on top of the action points there. Matthew 24:36. And then I'm going to add one, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. And I'm going to read that. Second Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. I'm going to start in verse 6 and go through 10, actually, if you want to turn there. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8 was a big one. It stands out to me. He's going to deal out to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes to be glorified and in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all those who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. That tells me that those who do not obey the gospel, they're going to suffer the consequence. And the question is, as we go on, what is the gospel? What is this obeying the gospel that we need to teach others? How long did Randall and Mike develop their friendship to this point in the story in chapter 3? How long had they been? How long?
4 months.
4 months? About 3.5 to 4 months, somewhere in there, yeah. What did Randall persistently do in his interactions with Mike? Goes back onto kind of what Alan was saying a little bit ago. What did Randall persistently do with his interactions with Mike? Remember? remember what he was doing. He asked spiritual questions rather than preaching Bible facts. You come across to somebody, I think that's a very good point. We could sometimes come across sometimes as rough and tough, like we know it all. Like we've got it all figured out. And it's just an easier approach in there, and it's a softer way to meet, get in with people.
Can you give some examples of spiritual questions versus facts?
Okay. Remember when Randall asked Mike, how were you saved? Do you remember that? And he allowed, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this too, but he went on and let Mike explain how he was saved. Remember, what was he raised? He was raised up in what congregation? He was Baptist. Baptist, right? I was raised Baptist, so I know where he was coming from. He said, I accepted him in my heart, and therefore I was saved. And so Randall was very good about listening to him. And I think that's good. The one of the keys to doing this is listening. A lot of times we want to say, nope, you're wrong. No, doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. It says, you shall repent and be baptized to be saved. And we jump the gun, and rather than just sitting and listen and let the guy explain himself, be gentle about it.
Well, and ask questions back, not so much give answers, ask questions, keep their brain thinking.
Yeah. Okay. Did that answer your question, Kelly?
Yeah.
Is that good enough? You want more?
I'll ask again when I'm ready.
Okay, do that. Okay. Was somebody else going to say something? Okay. Why did Mike think that Randall was a very different sort of Christian?
Because I think maybe what you're getting at is whenever he was talking to the other guy, I don't remember his name, in the office, he was really kind of leading him astray and getting him to put it in his head that he thought that him and his
Well,
here's something too, Ron. He wasn't talking negative about his coworkers.
Okay.
And the coworkers were talking negative about him.
Okay.
He didn't go there.
What was the other guy's name? Was it Kyle?
No, it's Kirk.
Was it Kirk?
I made a mistake. Sorry.
Kirk. His name was Kirk. He was the negative one. Remember what he said? He says, "Hey, man, stay away from that guy." He says, "Hey, his church, they think they're the only ones going to heaven. Stay away from him." But Randall never spoke negative of anybody that I read in the story. Sometimes we can do that, speak negative, and it makes us look bad. I think what they were trying to get at was that he lived what he believed. He lived what he believed. And that's what made him different. And that's the way we're to be looked at. We're to live what we believe. As a Christian, how do people see you? What is their spiritual perception of you? You don't have to answer it. Because sometimes I don't know if people would see me in a good way. We all make mistakes, but how would they see you in a spiritual perception?
The question might be, do they see you in a spiritual perception at all?
Yeah.
So much of what we do is we're not revealing that part of ourselves. I just had an interaction with a friend in Windsor, and she had put something out on Facebook about her child being involved with some kind of a game that frightened her. It had like some satanic elements to the game. And this guy that she's known for 2 years, she's worked with in Scouts or something, he responds with like this weird spiritual thing. And she's like, I didn't even know he went to church. And he's telling her, I'm a spiritual leader in my church and I do all this stuff at my congregation. She's like, I've known the guy for 2 years and never would I have guessed that he was spiritual in the least.
Wow.
So there's something to be said about
the way we live outside these four walls.
Absolutely. This is not just right here, but
yeah.
If they have a spiritual perception about me at all,
right,
that might be big.
else?
Well, I've noticed in a lifetime that people in Baptist church, and there's a lot of varieties, they are more verbal, more expressive about God, Jesus, eternal life, heaven, than, say, Church of Christ people. And you can almost spot a Baptist because of their conversation. Now, that's to their favor, I think. Expressions like, if the Lord will, they use that in their, God has blessed me in this way. It's, their conversation is just full of it. Well, that's confessing Jesus in a sense, all the time.
Okay. Okay. Anything else? What question did Randall ask Mike to open this day's spiritual dialogue? Do you remember? I know some of these are kind of...
The one about how many times have you eaten today?
Yeah, there you go. Yep. He says, how many times did you eat today? How many times did you eat today? Kind of seems odd. How would you start a conversation by asking somebody, how many times did you eat today? Well, what did Mike say? What did he say? He said, probably three times. What portion of scripture did he lead to next? Look at Matthew 24:36. Matthew 24:36. After he asked him how many times he ate today, he went to 24:36 and he said, but of that day and that hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. We wonder, what does this have to do with anything? Where is he going with this? And what was the most important question that Randall asked? This question was the one that set the foundation for the future of Mike becoming a Christian. Do you remember the question that he asked? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you obeyed the gospel?
Wasn't he tying in the eating thing to eating? How much have you eaten spiritually?
We were going to, What he said was, you ate three times today. How much spiritual food did you eat? How much spiritual food did you eat? Where do we get our spiritual food?
From the Word.
We're going into that here shortly. But he threw out some questions just for him to think about. Just to think about. And he was so good at that. Really good at that. Back to 2 Thessalonians real quick. I'll read that again. Have you obeyed the gospel of the Lord? Is what he asked him. To it real quick. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. Again, it said, in verse 8, it says, he's going to deal out retribution to those who do not know God and who do not, those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. So he asked him, have you obeyed the gospel? Made him think about, hey, if I haven't obeyed the gospel, something's going to happen here. Notice three critical components of their conversation, of their dialogue. Randall's question, how were you saved? He sincerely wanted Mr. Mike to tell the story. Remember, Kelly, we talked about that? How were you saved? He asked him the question rather than just preaching facts to him. Second, Randall really listened. Listening is a skill. It can be learned. I'm probably one of the worst listeners out there. I don't know why. I'm just not a good listener. I got to learn that. It's something I have to learn. And listening is something that is huge and it's vital to building relationships with people. Can you think of a verse that teaches us the importance of listening?
James, be slow to speak.
There you go. James 1:19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. It's important that we listen. And then third, Randall continued to question and listen as they went on. What final question did Randall ask to invoke the opportunity to have a Bible study? What was the final question? Do you remember?
Somewhere along the line, he asked him where the sinner's prayer was found.
Yep.
That had to follow the account of his conversion with the aunt.
That came up later on in...
Oh, it was later?
It was later on in the... After they got to study it. Because you remember he... And Mike was so upset because he was asking different preachers of different congregations when he was doing his printer business.
Well, that was when he wanted to know how the Baptist Church was started.
Yep.
Who started it and when.
Yep. And through all of that, that's when Mike asked him, or Randall asked him, where's the sinner's prayer? And man, he was looking, he couldn't find it. Couldn't find it anywhere.
Is this a true story or a fiction story?
This is a true story. But the name Randall, the name Randall's not true. He kept that, he changed that name. That's not his real name.
I can't imagine people who study scripture and Baptist study would come up with an answer that it was started by the John the Baptist.
Yeah.
That just seems like it couldn't have happened, but he said it did, so I'll accept it.
Okay. You remember that question, though? What was the final question that Randall had asked to invoke the opportunity to have a Bible study? Don't you need to know what the gospel is and how to obey it? What is the gospel? That's something that we need to think about as we study with others that... do not know what the gospel is. Do you need to know what the gospel is and how to obey it? How did Satan thwart Randall and Michael's Bible study? Linda mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, it's Kirk.
What did I say?
I said Kyle.
I said Kyle too. It's Kirk.
It's Kirk.
Yeah. He said, hey, Mike, better stay away from that dude. His church thinks they're the only ones going to go to heaven. That's what he said. Stay away from those guys. So, yeah, that was a way to thwart the whole study. And one last question before we quit here. The seed of doubt is compelling. According to the text in the story, what does doubt cause? What does doubt cause?
Procrastination.
Who said that? Oh, there you are. Procrastination, okay, or indecision. Okay. This week, work on those first three action points. And again, keep praying for opportunities. Keep praying for opportunities to share with others. Did you guys write down your 10 people on your list that you need to be praying for? Stacy did. My wife did, I think. She asked me this morning if I did it, and guess what? I hadn't got it done yet, so I'm just as bad this week. So work on it this week. Keep praying, and we'll see you next week. Yes.